MashaAllah, nice to share this space with you. Full disclosure, I just wanted to begin with a clarification about my education. Of course, I have been studying for much of my Muslim life. And at Qadarin University, MashaAllah, I did have the pleasure to study there. But I still haven't completed the Quran, but inshallah, I hope to one day, you know, by mashallah, I've been blessed to memorize quite a bit of it. And I completed the Kulliya of Sharia, although I did take classes in the traditional school as well, right? And so as being a Westerner, sort of, they gave us a break, right? You know, so and when I was there, there were some Russian students from Moscow as well who were studying. And the Qadarin, the traditional school. But alhamdulillah, it's great to be here tonight and to see a lot of, you know, old friends, people I've been seeing for a while. Inshallah, of course, begin by thanking the Ustadh Abdul Rashid for the invitation to come and speak here tonight as well. He mentioned to me that he wanted me to speak for about 20 minutes, but I'm afraid that I might go a little bit overboard because I'm going to also speak from the heart as well. MashaAllah, is also Ustadh Ahmed James, we call Barakah Blue. MashaAllah, as I mentioned before, that you know, we actually were classmates at one point at the GTU. And he didn't ask me to say this, but if there's any reason to buy his book, because he has books, a new book that he's trying to sell, MashaAllah, and if there's any reason to buy his book, it's because of that poem he just read about from Imam Suhaib Sultan, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show mercy. I knew Imam Suhaib, and he was one of the most gentle souls, very humble person, a beautiful brother, right? And actually, I had many exchanges with him via text prior to his passing. I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't know, but it's a mercy, and actually be kind to his wife as well. We're here tonight, of course, because we are celebrating and commemorating an important, a pivotal event in the life of the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, Sayyidu Kawnain wa Thaqalain, the master of the two planes of existence and the two weighty creatures, the jinn and min, as jinn bil ins. The Prophet ﷺ, Sayyidu Kawnain, that he was, of course, the master of alam al ghayb wa shahada, the realm of the seen and the unseen, al mulk wal malakut. And the Isra Mi'raj, as we know, was that miraculous event when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invited him to his kingdom and to witness the kingdom. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, we know that on one occasion he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show him how he gave life back to the dead. And Allah showed him, لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي, in order to comfort his heart, to remove any doubt from him about it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he showed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how the entire universe works, the workings of this universe. And often we forget that there is an unseen realm. And it really, what really matters is what happens in that unseen realm. We know that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, prior to this great event, this journey from Masjid al-Haram إلى المسجد الأقصى. As Quran says, سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. Glory be to him who took his servant by night from the Masjid al-Haram إلى المسجد الأقصى. That masjid, or that place of worship, which has been abounded with blessings, in order that we show him from our signs. And what great signs he had been shown on that night, alayhi salatu wasalam. But this is also a story of love, as of course the Ustadh Abdul Rashid highlights this. This is about love. I mean, what does love look like? We know true love, you know, there are ups and downs. There's, you know, makrah wa manshah, there's moments of great joy and celebration, and sometimes there's moments of struggle and displeasure. And we are asked to bear patiently in those moments of displeasure. Sometimes we celebrate through giving gifts to our beloveds to prove our love to them. And what was preceded by the Isra Mi'raj was 10 years of great struggle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam to deliver a message to his people. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Purify God's house. That's what my job is. I've not come here to take away your status and your power and your position. I'm coming here to tell you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not pleased with seeing the worship of other things along with him. And he wants his house to be purified. And that's all he was asking them to do. Something very simple, to be totally honest. But they didn't believe. They said, no, he has to be up to something else. It can't be true that that's all he wants. He has to be trying to set himself up to become the next king or the ruler or the leader of this peninsula. But that's all he wanted at the end of the day, proven by the Fath of Mecca. And we know that 3 years prior to the Isra Mi'raj, there was an embargo. There was a hisar, and the Muslims, they were almost starved to death. And at the end of those 3 years, the Prophet he experienced great sadness. And we know that in the books of Sirah, it said that this is called the year of sadness, Aam al-Huzn. And contrary to popular understanding, or at least according to Sheikh Ramadan, Muhammad Saeed Ramadan al-Buthi, rahimahullah, he said the reason why this year is called the year of sadness is not because he lost his wife, Khadija, alayhi salam. This make you shiur used to say, alayhi salam. This is actually what the people used to say very long ago, after every time someone died. But not only because he lost his wife, and he lost his uncle, Abu Talib, rajullahu anhu. I mean, sorry, that is, of course, the Sunnis. Even though, of course, there's khilaf about the question of the fate of Abu Talib. Of course, the Shia said he died a Muslim, and the Sunnis say he did not die a Muslim. Ibn Hisham in the Sirah gives the impression that perhaps he died a Muslim, to be totally honest. Allah knows best of his fate. But at any rate, you know, we're Sunnis, we're Orthodox, right? But Abu Talib, we know, was kind to the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. But the point being that Muhammad Sa'id Ramadan al-Bulti, radiallahu anhu, rahmatullahi alayhi, he says that it was called the year of sadness because that was the year wherein the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he found the greatest opposition. And he couldn't find an ear open to his message anymore. The Quran says, قَدْ نَعْلَمَ أَنَّهُ يَحْزُنُكَ الَّذِي يَقُولُونَ. We know that it saddens you to hear what they say. But he said that it's not you that they reject. They reject the signs of God. We know that it saddens you. But what is interesting is after this, we know he goes to Ta'if, and he's looking for, after the Hisar is over, he goes to Ta'if, he's rejected by the people of Ta'if, and then eventually he's pelted and finds his way to a place where he sits down, he makes that special prayer that we all know, the very beautiful prayer, perhaps the most beautiful prayer of the Sirah. Allahumma inni ashku ilayka da'fa quwwati wa qillata hilati wa hawani 'ala an-nas. Oh Allah, I complain to you the weakness of my strength, the ineffectiveness of my strategy, and my debasement in the eyes of the people. Ya arhamar rahimin anta rabbul mustata'in wa anta rabbi. Oh all merciful of those who show mercy, you are the Lord of the weak, and you are my Lord. And we know the rest of the prayer. But what is interesting about this is that outside of the fact that towards the end of the prayer, he says that if these things that are happening to me are not a sign of your anger and your wrath upon me, do what you may with me. It doesn't matter. Whatever. Of course, I will want things to be easy, but do what you may with me. And what is interesting is that when we reflect upon what has happened recently in Turkey and Syria, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant relief to the people, the Muslims and others who have been tried in that area, that part of the world, is that when you see the videos of survivors, you see the celebration, people are not blaming God. They're Allah, but they're not rejecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala despite everything. As if that they themselves have heard the lessons enough as well. If this is not a sign of your wrath, as long as you're not angry with me, I'm not concerned. It doesn't bother me that you do this. But what's interesting is that when the Prophet ﷺ decides to head back to Mecca, alayhi salatu wasalam, he eventually reaches a place called Nakhla. And he and Zayd ibn Harith, radiallahu anhu, they pray. And as he's reciting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sends past them a group of the jinn. And then later on, he tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about what happened. قُلْ هُوِهِ إِلَيَّ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَقَالَ إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا. Say, it's been revealed to me that a delegation of the jinn, that they listened to the Qur'an and they said, this is a marvelous recitation. This is a marvelous book. يَهْدِي إِلَى رُشْدٍ فَآمَنَّا بِهِ وَنَنْشُرِكَ بِرَبِّنَا أَحَدًا. It guides to the straight path. We believe in it. And so we will never ascribe any partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Surah Al-Ahqaf, وَإِذْ صَرَفْنَا إِلَيْكَ نَفَرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقُرْآنَ فَلَمَّا حَضَرُوهُ قَالُوا أَنْصِتُوا. And reflect upon when we turn in your direction, they for delegation of the jinn. And they were listening to the Quran, and once they came to it, they said to one another, be silent, listen. And then once he was finished, they returned to their people with warning. قالوا يا قوم قالوا يا قوم إننا سمعنا كتابا أنزل من بعد موسى مصدقا لما بين يديه يهدي إلى الحق وإلى طريق المستقيم. There's a book that has been revealed after Musa عليه السلام, affirming what came before, etc. It guides to the truth and to a straight path. At any rate, the point being that it's as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in preparation for the Isra and Mi'raj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is already sending the message to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Even though, or despite the fact that those in the material realm are rejecting you, then those in the spiritual realm, they have received you, they have accepted you. So first sign of consolation that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam receives. He didn't lose faith. He was committed to his mission. And then he goes back. He makes his way to Mecca. He spent the night in the house of his cousin, Umm Hana. And then the angel comes to him that night. And then that night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes him to the Masjid Al-Aqsa. He leads the Anbiya in prayer. The angel Jibreel shows him the Mi'raj. And the Prophet said, there's nothing more beautiful that I have ever seen than the Mi'raj. And it is to the Mi'raj that every single person, when he or she dies, is fixated on. That your eyes, when people die, their eyes become fixated in a certain direction. What are they looking at? They're looking at the Mi'raj. And then he takes them up. And when he arrives, he sees a man who's observing something. Something's being shown to him. And what is being shown to him are his people as they pass and transition out of this realm. And then when one of them dies a kafir, that man says, Ruhun khabitha kharajat min jasadin khabith. A foul soul that came out of a foul body. And when someone died, a believer, he would say, Ruhun tayyiba kharajat min jasadin tayyib. A good soul that came out of a good body. And so the Prophet asked Jibreel alayhi salam, he said, well, who is this? He said, Hada abuka Adam alayhi salam. This is your father Adam. He's presented with the, or shown his progeny. And he makes comment about them. He expresses his discontent with those who reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So once again, it's he just, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasul. That's his message. He also eventually makes his way to what's called Bab al-Hafara, the gate of the guardians. And at the gate of the guardians is an angel, his name is Ismail. And Ismail, he turns to Jibreel and says, Jibreel, who is this? And then Jibreel says, Hada Muhammad. And then Ismail responds, Abu Qad Bu'ith? Say, has he already been sent? Because all the angels are waiting to hear news of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, Khatib al-Anbiya wal-Mursaleen. And in every the heaven he goes into, every angel they're asking him, has he already been sent? Has he already been sent? The angels are greeting him, everybody's happy, they're smiling, and welcome. And then he passes by one angel, and the angel he greets him, but he's not smiling, he's frowning. And the Prophet felt that was strange. He's all like, everyone else is happy. Listen, he goes to Jibreel. He said, well, who's that? He says, that's Malik. Malik is the treasurer. He's the keeper of Jahannam, of the hellfire. And he said, if he were to smile, he would have smiled at you. But he didn't smile at anyone. He said, you're no one more worthy of smile being smiled at but you. Right? This is Malik, this is how he is. So then he takes him to the second heaven. In the second heaven he meets Isa ibn Maryam and Yahya ibn Zakariya once again. In the third heaven he meets Yusuf alayhi salam. In the fourth heaven he meets the Prophet Idris alayhi salam. And he continues, he goes to the next heaven. He meets Harun, Aaron, the brother of Musa alayhi salam, and then he meets Musa in the sixth heaven. And then the seventh heaven, he meets Ibrahim, alayhi salam. And then eventually, Jibreel, he tells him, there's a point that we have reached, and only you can go. I can't go to that point. And this point is the extreme limit of the universe. And in that point, in that place, there is a great tree called Sidratul Muntaha, the low tree of the highest point. And the Prophet ﷺ, he enters into that area. And in some of the narrations, they say that it was as if thousands of golden butterflies appear and they scat. And then eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to speak to him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him into his kingdom, and then he leads him and he speaks to him, shows him the dominions of the heaven and the heavens and the earth, and then he sends him back with a gift. And that gift was a gift of 50 prayers, at least to start, 50. And we know the story, it goes down and Musa said, no, too many. They won't be able to do that many. Ask him to give you to lighten your burden. And he goes back and Allah, okay, 40. And goes back, there's no too many. Okay, 30. Okay, 20. Until eventually he makes it to 5. This 5 are equivalent to 50. And then the Prophet, of course, he's too afraid to or too ashamed to return to Allah after Musa says, it's too much. They won't be able to handle even 5. I have experienced this with my own people. And so, of course, he returns. But fundamental point is this, final lesson I would say is that this is all after everything that he had gone through, the Messenger, alayhi salam. We know that he started his life. He never knew his father. He only knew his mother for about a year. And he goes into the care of his grandfather, and he loses his grandfather not very long after that. Then, of course, into the care of Abu Talib. But in his life, you know, later on, of all of his children, all of them die, except for one of them, Fatima, Zahra, radiallahu anhu, alayhi salam. And we pray in every single raka'ah prayer. We say, اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Guide us to the straight path, the path of those who have received your favor, or you upon which you have bestowed your favor. Who are those people? They are the prophets, the anbiya, the awliya, the salihin, the siddiqin, as the Quran says. That's what these people, and fundamentally what we're asking Allah for is to make us like them. And in other words, it's as if we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to test us, but that if He does test us, that He allow our reactions to be similar to their reactions. In other words, we are expected to receive hardship in our lives, moments of displeasure. The Prophet said, "Ashadu nasi bala'an al-anbiya, thumma al-amthal wa fal-amthal." The people with the hardest tribulations, the hardest tests are the prophets, and then those who are next to them in likeness, and those who are next to them in likeness. So we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us like them. When we look at the stories of the prophets in the Quran, we don't see the moments of joy, the moments of pleasure and luxury. We actually have to see the opposite. Adam alayhi salam was tried by his sons. Nuh alayhi salam is tried by his son and his wife. Lut alayhi salam, his wife, rejects faith in him. Yaqub, tried by his children. Yusuf alayhi salam, his brothers. Right? Challenge after challenge. That's what would be fine. And so it is not a sign of Allah's hatred to us if we find ourselves in tribulation at times. Especially if we are not responsible for placing ourselves in those situations. Sometimes we can place a burden on ourselves greater than we can bear. We can do it to ourselves. And when we do it to ourselves, we make bad decisions, and of course, we can't blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but sometimes things just come our way. And when those things come our way, that's usually a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to test us. Right? It is not a sign of love necessarily that you get all that you want. It is not a sign of hatred that you don't get everything that you want, that you experience some struggle as part of life. But this is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's treatment of His beloved. This is the way that He treats His beloved. He will, as some would say, that the munafiq, the hypocrite, Allah, He answers their prayers right away. The believer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He lets them continue to pray because He loves to listen to the pleas of the believers, the pleading pleas of His friends. At any rate, again, I apologize for going for so long, you know, but I just wanted to take an opportunity to just speak from the heart and reflect upon, you know, things that, you know, life is real, death is real. Right? All of us want to leave this world. It's part of life. It's not a very attractive or pleasing fact to reflect upon. But all of us are going to transition. We were not created for this world. We were created for the next world. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allow for us to leave this world upon Iman, that we live upon Islam, and we ask Him as well that He bless and reward those who have left this world already, and reunite all of us, inshallah, in Jannah, in the company of the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.